Blog Talk Radio.
This is GPU Radio, the late night edition. After audio problems at 8 p.m., we hope you stuck around in time to join us. Most of all, I hope you can hear me right now, and I don't have that annoying, hissing, blowing noise going behind me. Let's bring back George. Hi, George.
Hello, Jason.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit better.
Okay. Is it good enough to go on with the show?
I think we should be fine.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Yeah, I can definitely. It's definitely better than before. So
okay.
It should be okay.
Oh, you know, the weather is kind of nasty everywhere, so we could have a little bit of weather wind stuff going on.
Well, already it's actually starting to improve a little bit. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So George, I feel like we should just pick up our discussion wheels off. I think I ask you one more baseball-related question.
Yes.
Are you happy with the direction the Yankees are going in?
Am I happy with the direction?
Are you happy? Yeah. Did you want to see them do something else?
I am actually happy with everything. I think that I thought that the Steinbrenners were going to wind up picking. At first I thought they were going to wind up picking Don Mattingly because he's, that sort of cute and cuddly Cinderella story, type of coach. But instead they went with a coach who actually has coaching experience and, has shown that he can do something with a bunch of kids. So it's basically showing a lot of potential for what we can do as this whole new era really starts up. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, here's what it seems to me with the move they've made so far, and let's admit we still have, 2 months of spring training. It seems to me with the move they've made so far, they're basically saying the problem was Joe Torre.
I wouldn't say that he was the problem. I think that
they brought everybody back.
Yeah, it seemed like there was definitely something missing. It seemed like we were stuck in neutral for a while. Ever since the whole, the 04 fiasco, we were able to get so far, but then we just couldn't quite get over that hump.
If you read between the lines, I think what they're really saying is the team lacked fire, and Girardi could have been passionate fire.
Well, that's true.
And I think if you read between the lines of what they've done, what they haven't done so far, they want to see a more inspired team on the field.
Yeah, I mean, watching... I think, looking at Jabba Chamberlain, he was somebody that, he basically just, exuded fire. He was somebody that would strike somebody out and then pump his fist and shout and everything. And now, he's one of, the front, he's one of, the front page pictures on Yankees.com. This is, showing that, hey, we got fire under us.
Yeah, I didn't know if you heard me earlier the last time I talked this, but I personally... wouldn't we need to deal with the Twins if it involved both Hughes and Chamberlain?
Oh, it's definitely not involving Chamberlain. They've already...
Or any combination of Hughes, Chamberlain, and Kennedy.
Right.
I just don't believe you give up two young starters.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
one
that either.
Melky Cabrera is actually that nice player, but I don't think he has the gigantic upside. You know what I mean? He's a nice player. He's not the guy you can rebuild your franchise around. But he's a nice player.
Yeah.
Those two young starters, you could rebuild a franchise.
Yes, you could. And I like the fact that we're doing such a good job of holding on to them.
Oh yeah. And plus, I mean, you gotta realize the Twins player could be able to afford Santana. So they're probably gonna have to deal him sometime this season, not trade him in the off season. So you could probably come back and maybe get him for a lower price at the deadline.
Anything can happen right now. Everything is basically here.
I have to talk with other teams because, our poor Pittsburgh Pirates
Yeah.
The new people that came in, new GM, new CEO, they took a look at the farm system and realized what we all know, and that is there is no farm system except a lawnmower, double A lawnmower. And they're just trying to restock with as much talent.
True. I mean, but at the same time, though, I mean, like, people have been given, like, the Yankees all this flack about, you know, like, how they would basically, like, kind of decimate their farm system. But at the same time, it's just like, right after they basically just, you know, kind of did that in 04, you know, like, right in 05, we brought in Robinson Cano, brought up, you know, Chien-Ming Wong, brought up, you know, like, even for a little bit of time, Melky Cabrera, even though he was a year away from really being ready. But, you know, like, all of a sudden, like, those players started coming up, and it seemed like there was, like, an injection of youth coming in. That was something that, you know, that really got us excited.
Yeah, and on my last baseball point is, I mean, looking at it, you're a fan of a team that has everything. We have a team that, like, doesn't really have, that has to really, really work hard to get itself back and get any sort of respectability.
Oh, yeah.
The problem, the thing, there's good news and bad news for the Pirates. The good news for the Pirates is, if you look at the team, they have some pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the pieces. The bad news is those pieces are a few years away.
Mm-hmm.
But they really need to fill out everything. And I don't know how much longer the fans here will get by and still fill up the ballpark or, you know, 2+ people each season for a losing team. I just don't know how long the fans are going to stick with it.
Right.
Because there are 15 years of losing. I mean, everyone says, oh, there's no baseball fans in Pittsburgh. There are. What other city would they actually draw 2 to 3 million fans a year for terrible baseball for 15 years when you know your team's never going to win?
It is definitely like, you know, something like that. I mean, you know, like they, it's just like the same thing with Tampa Bay. Like Tampa Bay made sure in 2006 to have that 10 years of Devil Ray baseball logo, you know, like on their uniforms. It's like, well, it's not exactly something to really be proud of, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fans just deserve better here. I mean, hopefully someday owners will sell the team to an owner that'll jack payroll, that 75 to a million or more.
Right.
We can really compete again. This is a franchise with a great history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's just being flushed, you know. And if this would happen with the Yankees or Mets or somebody, they would be heads rolling.
Yeah.
There'd be blood in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we just have to grin and bear it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back into politics.
Yeah.
Boy, we can really kill time with baseball discussion. We haven't jumped into the NFL either. what do you think about this whole CIA tapes?
It just seems like it's something else that the administration is just kind of putting out there just to remind us all that they're still in power. And it's,
you know, in a really warped way, exactly what you're saying makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I, like, it's basically just saying, like, hello, we're here, and guess what? There's still nothing that you can do about anything that we do.
It's
disgusting just how much everything is just being flaunted in front of everyone's eyes, and no one is looking at it because they're too busy looking at friggin' Britney Spears stealing a cigarette lighter.
Don't you find it a little dubious that out of the, let's say, thousands and hundreds of thousands of videos and documented things the CIA has, they chose to destroy these two?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it has to do with torture, you know, like, and that's something that that Americans just don't do.
And the original, yeah, listen to the part that we don't torture.
Yeah.
The original idea behind this is what Biden and several others are asking for is what they really want to know is why were these two tapes destroyed?
Oh, yeah.
I think the CIA said, well, we want to protect the identity of the interrogators. Well, that's a load of bull. Okay, what it really was I think they were death afraid. Video of Waterboard, which they got into the
video.
It's your death will come out.
Yeah, it's really just kind of aggravating. Just watching.
I think it's easy to stand there and look all serious and say, and we practice enhanced interrogation techniques. But it's totally different when people have the video see what an enhanced interrogation technique is and what it does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like this, when you have like actual video there, you can't. It's not something that you can just kind of explain away.
Kind of like the whole Abu Ghraib thing. People would have never realized or been so outraged about it until it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they had pictures. And pictures of every 60 minutes, then all of every other form of media. Then, you know, all of a sudden, that made it more true or terrible, and finally made its way to the public consciousness. You know, we talked a bit about, or a lot about 2008. And we had a call about Ron Paul. I don't know. My Ron Paul now has really, really dropped. You know, it seems like Ron Paul has raised a ton of money. He's getting to be a bit more mainstream. And there's an element out there that the same kind of people that like the rock band before anybody knows them.
Well, it just seems like the main thing. I like the guy. I like his views. I like what he stands for and everything. And I like the fact that he's getting so many people excited about politics, because he's basically just doing this really odd way of handling his business, which is actually kind of telling us something that makes sense and something that can actually the people can actually kind of like nod and say like, okay, he gets it. But at the same time, what kind of bothers me is that if he winds up losing, which obviously, you know, if he loses the chance to be on the Republican ticket, it just feels like he's just going to just kind of go away, and all those people that have put in so much support for him and everything aren't going to show up at the polls. It's either Paul or no one.
I get a lot of email on Paul, and it also some of it says, if Ron Paul isn't the nominee, I'm not going to vote.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you could ever possibly do.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless you find
which is what Fox News is, and the Republican Party is basically counting on.
Yeah, they're trying to push these people out. I mean, they do not want people in their party. And the honest to God's truth of it is, if Ron Paul was not nearly 72 years old, if he was 15 years younger,
he would have run as a third party, without a doubt.
He would run as a third party independent, and the Republicans would have something to worry about.
Yeah.
If he was 15 years younger, they'd even have something to worry about within their own party this year.
The problem, though, is that that everything is so fixed on one party or the other party. It's just, we're so stuck in this two-party system that it feels like, no matter what, you're just kind of like, if you so much as vote for that third party, then you know you're not going to get anywhere with it. The thing that people don't realize is that there were certain things. People look at various, various Cinderella stories in politics. One of them being one perfect example would be Jesse Ventura becoming governor of Minnesota. The reason why he became governor of Minnesota is because they were able to use a state law that allowed people to register and vote at the same time.
Yeah.
They were able to They were able to get their card and use it right away. And that brought out everybody to the polls.
For an earlier caller from New York, I would say that the single-party registration is also here in Pennsylvania. That's through two-thirds of the country. The vast majority of the states do not have same-day registration. They don't have a crossover primary. You have to vote within the party you register with. I am a big advocate of same-day registration.
Mm-hmm.
I think same-day registration is great. Everyone's worried about voter fraud and everything else. But really, could it be any worse than what we've seen in Florida and Ohio on the last two?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the basic thing is that, there are people like basically kind of worried that people aren't going to be taking this election seriously or anything. What sort of incentive do they have right now to take it seriously?
I think that everyone would just be so relieved to get rid of the current administration.
Yeah.
Everyone is waiting till the next person takes over, but do they care who that next person is? I don't think so.
There is this constant feeling of apathy, and the thing is that when you have this sort of candidate as Ron Paul, somebody who, like my guy, Joe Biden, somebody who make sense in what they say and can get people behind them if all they have to do is listen, you just know that they're not going to get very far. You just feel it in your gut. You just know it. You see it happen all the time. The people who make the most sense are the ones who are stamped out first.
I could throw Bill Richardson into that discussion, too. I am the qualified people who just can't seem to get noticed in their lodge right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Paul's getting noticed, but only because his supporters are just so persistent with fundraising. They finally get it. At first, it was all internet stuff. And they realized they weren't breaking through that way. And the way to get into the way to really, really shake up the system is with money. This year, we've talked with it maybe once or twice or three times before, but this year we desperately need a third-party candidate.
Oh, absolutely.
There needs to be something.
If it is
Clinton and Giuliani, we're going to get a negative personal attack campaign, but it's not going to talk about issues.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. I mean, just thinking about what it's going to be like here, you know, like right in New York. You know, like, I mean, basically, you got a senator and a former mayor, you know, just like, it's the Subway Series, you know, like, and that's basically what's going to end up happening. And
turn that down a couple inches in New York, and that's what you'll have in Pennsylvania. We're right next door. I mean,
I remember hearing about how the, you know, like the 2000 World Series between the Yankees and the Mets garnered such low numbers everywhere else. Except New York, you know, it's basically that's what's going to happen. Nobody else is going to vote except over here.
And the thing is, the states that have a really vested interest, it depends on what you know about Pennsylvania politics. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are liberal cities. I mean, strongly liberal cities.
It's just going to be so brutal.
The rest of the state is a T. It forms a T between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and the T is conservative. And it's going to be open warfare here in this state. If it's Clinton and Giuliani, it's just going to be ugly. I mean, it's going to be personal attack after personal attack after personal attack. And I've told you before, I honestly think the only thing that would make Clinton and Giuliani talk about issues is a third-party candidate, a Ron Paul-like candidate, standing there and pressuring them.
Yeah, we need somebody to keep everybody honest, basically. If all it is Clinton and Giuliani, all you're going to be hearing is, do you want things to stay the same, or do you want things to stay the same?
You probably didn't see what I posted on 401 today. Maybe you've heard about it on the news. Bill Clinton now labeled Hillary as an agent of change.
Yeah, an agent of change. Yeah, we're going to take the world right back to the year 1996.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Can you think of anybody who hasn't had a full frontal lobotomy who would actually believe for more than 2 seconds that Hillary Clinton is an agent of change?
Right. I mean, can we just please have somebody who's not a Bush or a Clinton in the White House just for a little while? See how it is.
I think what you recognize is it has a very, very strong legitimate feeling in this country, and it's something that Obama is starting to tap into.
Yeah,
because you're talking about somebody that could really electrify a general election. Obama is that kind of candidate. He may not be. I mean, let's face it. He's gotten better with details and issues. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
From when we took him apart like 4 or 5 months ago, and they need to be more aggressive, need to be so specific. He's gotten better.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's definitely turned it around. I mean, like, you know, I was on Oprah's case before, but. You know, she really is doing him a favor by getting him that little extra publicity and getting him that little extra edge that he needed. But at the same time, though, like, he was doing a very good job by playing himself off as a political outsider. You know, like, he found his voice there.
I do think if he can capitalize on that, and if he captures the Democratic nomination, it's going to be a landslide. It doesn't matter who the Republicans nominate.
I think he'll win, too.
He's such a dynamic personal candidate. If he's up there with just one other person on a stage, he's going to blow whoever is off that stage.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially when you take a look at the different candidates that the Republicans have. Like it's almost like one after the other, just seeing them just slowly deteriorating with this, you know, as time goes on. You know, like, I mean, let's
talk about Fred Thompson, the campaign that never was.
Oh, Fred Thompson, just, I mean, talk about somebody who completely missed the boat. You know, he had that extra will he run, will he not run sort of mystique, you can say, that every other lower tier candidate, Republican and Democrat, would kill to have. And then all of a sudden he gets it and he pisses it away.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, he's running. Now what?
Yeah, if you're going to run for something, it would really help if you campaigned.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's quite got that through Fred yet. Did you try to go to shut off and ask people for their votes?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just stay in home and go, yep, I'm running.
Yeah.
Which is what he's doing.
It was just like when he passed up the Republican a Republican debate so that he can go on Leno.
Yeah. At the time that looked like a shrewd move, depending on what he did after that.
Right.
The problem was he went on Leno and went home. So he had like one or two rallies and went home. He didn't actually capitalize on that.
Well, the beautiful thing that I definitely credit the other candidates for was they realized where he was and decided to tee off on him, and he couldn't defend himself. So, I look at that as smart politics.
Do you think Chris Huckabee's going to make it?
What's that?
In the Republican nomination. You think Huckabee takes the Republican nomination?
Huckabee's definitely making some noise for himself. I was saying before, I think the Chuck Norris ads were brilliant. And, I watched them again and everything.
I'm putting you on the spot. On the spot, yes or no? Will he be the
nominee? Yes or no? Will he? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that while he's going to make some noise, I think Giuliani's going to wind up squeaking it out.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I disagree with the big state strategy. And if Huckabee does sweep the early stage, he could catch fire and blow everybody away.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Giuliani's got too much strength in the big states and up north.
Giuliani's like he's somebody like we were saying before, his strategists are basically counting on losing three of the top four states, which is something that you just don't do. But at the same time, he's somebody that if he winds up pulling it off, you just got to look at it. It's like that's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna change everything forever. I mean, the early primaries, the small primaries, are gonna be devalued.
Yeah.
If he can, you can avoid them and then still win. And
it's
really going to change the whole process.
Yeah.
I got to apologize to you about. We had some live listeners actually on the first edition of the program, and I listened to the audio. It was pretty crappy. The phone line is open here. We still got about 10 minutes. Our number is 718-664-6734. If anyone wants to call in or call back in and join us. You can so we'll take your call. We'll stick around for a while. George, I'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really think if this election, both races now have some intrigue.
What's that?
Both races now have some intrigue.
Yeah.
There's some intrigue in both the Democratic and Republican side now. If you were gonna really pin me down, the Democratic race, I honestly don't know now. I really could see Obama winning this thing.
It's really gotten gone from everybody just kind of locking it in, and now all of a sudden thinking like, well, wait a second, there's a chance here that something else is going to happen. You got guys like Huckabee making noise. You got Giuliani losing his swagger. You got Clinton losing her swagger. You got Obama making some noise, and just piece by piece, things are just slowly kind of becoming up in the air.
I'm going to ask you a real no-brainer.
All right.
If you're Barack Obama and you win the Democratic nomination,
mm-hmm.
who do you choose as your running mate? I say it's a no-brainer because I think I know what you would say.
Was it? You think it's a no-brainer
for
what I'm going to say?
I think I know who you'd pick, and I think I'd agree with you. So,
I would go with Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would definitely go with Joe Biden. While everybody keeps on saying that he would make a great Secretary of State, you know, like, I personally think he would make a great president, but at the same time, you know, like, obviously I'm in the minority here, so I'm going to say that he would make a great vice president.
Yeah, about 90% of the country is going to be there.
I think he's somebody who can provide Obama with that extra edge that Obama obviously doesn't have, and that's the experience. He's got the foreign policy experience. He's got the, obviously, the, you know, the politics experience, being in Washington for so many years. And, you know, he's basically, you know, like, somebody who can get people behind him. And if Obama is there in front of him telling people to listen to what this man has to say, then they're finally going to listen.
Yeah. Like Mr. Obama over the weekend, Obama could provide Biden a platform that he never even dreamed of. I mean, when Obama moves, the national media pays, I think.
Say that again?
And that's when Obama moves, the national media pays attention.
Yes.
You know, and that's just that. You know, I think that it's almost a certainty because, you know, there was a lot of talk earlier in the year that there would be a Clinton-Obama ticket.
There wouldn't be. No, that's too many egos. But that's the end of my fellow Americans right there.
If you talk to any Democrat, any real Democrat who kind of follows this stuff, they will tell you there's zero chance of that happening.
Oh, yeah.
None.
They're, you know, like, they would be, you know, like, even if one of them, you know, like, even if, say, Clinton wins the nomination and she picks Obama as her running mate, there's going to be a back and forth as to who's going to run as president and who's going to run as vice president.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure that either one of them wants somebody with ambition as the other one has sitting in the VP seat.
And they're kind of guaranteeing this to happen, considering the back and forth that they have had against each other.
Oh, it's gotten really ugly. Oh, what did you think about Hillary Clinton's people criticizing Barack Obama's kindergarten essay?
Say that again?
What did you think about Hillary Clinton's people criticizing Barack Obama's kindergarten essay?
I thought that was... Oh, I mean, this is, and she's an agent for change. I mean, please. I've always liked you, Bill, but will you listen to what you say sometimes?
The first thing that popped in my head when I read that story was they had to go the whole way back to kindergarten to find dirt on Obama.
Yeah, and when there's so much you can get out of a lapel pin. You know,
they pretty much rode the lapel pin scan into the ground.
Oh.
There's a report circulating out there though that Hillary Clinton people are lining up a big ad buy in New Hampshire and they're going to start attacking Obama's character.
Yeah,
if she loses in Iowa. They're going to go negative hard.
It's almost like she knows that she's. You know, that she's, you know, definitely dropping in favor. So she's starting to fight dirty. It's almost like, if I'm going to go down, I'm taking you with me.
Remember that playoff game between Houston and Buffalo in the NFL where Buffalo came back with a quarterback and made the Oilers the biggest comeback in NFL history? At one point in time, Hillary Clinton...
Wasn't that Buffalo-Houston?
Yeah, the Buffalo-Houston. She had the big... She was the Houston Oilers. She had the big lead and she was very comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's definitely playing the role of the Houston Oilers right now.
And now, here's Barack Obama as the Buffalo Bills. We're heading into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, the score's got that close.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, people are getting nervous, and the Buffalo weather is starting to get a little colder.
Yeah, I honestly think the Clinton people never thought this was going to happen.
I don't think so either. I thought just based on Hillary's attitude during the first few debates, she knew in her heart and her soul, in her mind, and every fiber of her being, no matter what people were saying, no matter what the media was saying, this was going to be a cakewalk for her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Clinton. I got, you know, like, I've been in the White House for 8 years. I know all the secret passageways. You know, like, you know, I am, you know, like, this is going to be simple for me. And, she wound up winning the division, but at the same time, you still got two more rounds of playoffs to go.
Yeah, I really, really think they didn't anticipate this, and they haven't been able to play a good. I mean, they got Obama good on the experience question over the summer.
Yeah,
that I think voter people are starting to pay attention now, and what they want is something different.
Yeah, it's going to be coming up to the point where if Clinton's people start coming out again, talking about slamming Obama's inexperience, the people are going to be saying, thank God he's got that inexperience.
Yeah, it can be a vice or a virtue in this circumstance. Yeah. But, George, we've hit 10:30. I knew I should have scheduled 45 minutes. I knew it was a lot of time. George, what's up for 401 this week?
Tomorrow, my Scene Anatomy 101 plug column will be going up. It is a scene from the direct-to-DVD animated film Batman Beyond: Return of the Joker.
Oh, I love that movie.
Me too. Me too. And
I really love it.
And then we have the UBS Evening Movie News on Thursday on 411mania.com.
George, start thinking about the top 10 movies.
I shall.
You and I will put together our list. Give me one right now.
One right now, I would actually say that one of the top would be All the President's Men.
Excellent choice. I think we both have a unanimous agreement for our list. George, if you want to do another show this weekend or sometime this week, I'll be here and I'll be glad to do it. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks for being a real gamer.
Of course.
Brian McLean with a little ice, hold him down. I know you're going to download this. He's going to love that. Okay. So, George, I'll see you. I'll talk to you real soon, man.
Definitely.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.